Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Okay, so we're going to finish our series today on Proverbs. And Proverbs 11:25 says this: "A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." And so we're going to call the talk today, "The Road to Joy." So let me ask you a question. Do you want to be a joyful person, joy-filled, happy all the time? Whatever goes on in life, you're always smiling, always happy, always joyful. Yeah, do you want to be that? Yeah, it's impossible, Diane. I know it's never going to happen this side of heaven. Yeah. But the thing is, we can, whatever goes on in life, we can be filled with the joy of the Lord. Amen? We can be filled with that. So whatever goes on in life, whether it's Putin's little games, or North Korea, or China with some of that other stuff, or whether it's a Queen Diane, or whatever it is, you know, we've got to celebrate as well. We've got a new king. It's not just the death, it's two. But whatever goes on in life, that we can have the joy of the Lord inside. And that's where we need to start every day, guys. When we wake up, it's like I say, God, this is your day. Do with me what you will. Because I want to sense that God is there, that his spirit is there. And I've got the joy of the Lord in the heart. And then I go out to do whatever I'm doing in life. And it makes a difference. We've got to have that central part of our lives. That's where we live from. And so the truth is, you can be a joyful person. Let's all proclaim it today. I am a joyful person.
I am a joyful person.
I am going to have a joyful week. And a joyful life. Now you've said it. Do you believe that, church? Come on, if you don't, what did Jesus die for? You know, he could have left us to get on and chase after everything in the world that we wanted. The heart, you know, the flesh wants that. Running after everything. He said, I'm going to die. I'm going to clear that so you don't have to be bondaged anymore by chasing the things of this world. I want your soul to be filled with my joy. That's what he died for. But the truth is, we can be there, but how do we get there? Well, Acts 20:35 says there is more happiness in giving than receiving. So, you know, everybody loves receiving, don't we? Yeah, we love to receive presents or whatever. And the world kind of teaches us the more you've got, the happier you'll be. More money, more prestige, more wealth, more stuff. The more you get, the happier you'll be. But actually, Jesus created the world. Yeah, and he said, there's more happiness in giving than receiving. And it's because it brings joy to the heart, joy to God. So the answer is, if you want to be a joy-filled person, is become generous. Become a generous person. So my question is, right at the start, is how generous are you? How generous are you as a person? How joy-filled is your heart today? You know, is it full of the joys of spring, full of the joys of the Lord? Or is it disappointed, downcast? You know, life has let you down. Life sucks. It does suck anyway, but it's still joy in it, yeah? Or is the disappointment, now your disappointment with your job, disappointed with your ministry, disappointed with your husband, or disappointed with your wife, disappointed you haven't got anyone yet after all these years? Or maybe you've been battling and saying, I really want to be closer to the Lord. I really want that closeness with him. And you've been going for it. And you've said, I'm never going to be impatient again. And then you're on the phone. And they've kept you waiting for half an hour. And it's like, come on, answer the phone. Or you've said, I'm never going to get angry again. And then someone upsets you at work again and boom, you're off. Or maybe you've said to yourself, I'm never going to get in debt again. And then all of a sudden the bills come through the door and inflation hits, gas bills that have gone through the roof, 3,000, well, capped at 2,500, is still £2,500. And you can see debt coming your way. You see, the thing is, the Christian life is a journey. And it's a battle. We battle with these things. And sometimes God steps in miraculously to reshape things, to renew things, to take away the problems that come our way. It could be sicknesses, sufferings, it could be debt. Many times people get money come through the door where God just steps in and does it. And we love it when God does that. We've heard of a massive healing in Basildon last week. We're going to leave it for this week. You'll get to hear about it next week. God, sometimes he does that. He does. But sometimes he doesn't. And generally, our journey is one where we take little steps and little steps, incremental steps, where we become more like him and we become less like the world. That's the Christian walk. But we're sure of this. Paul said in Philippians 1:6, he who has begun a work in you will carry it out until completion. He, who is that? That's Jesus, who began a work. It was his work from the start. He decided to come and live in your heart and go to work inside you to transform you by the power of his Holy Spirit. And we can all give testimony to that. And he said, he has started it, he will finish it. And so in this world, if we want to be wise, not surprised, shocked and downcast, we already know that whatever we've just overcome, basically this, you're either going through something, you've just come out of something, or you're just going to go into something. This is the world we live in. There will be trials, there will be temptations in our life. Satan wants to sink us if we focus on his work. But God wants us to overcome and be victorious. God sends these things our way so that he can trust us. Trust us with time. Trust us with our resources. Trust us with gifts. Trust us with money. Trust us with anointing and influence. And trust us with people, his children. That's what it's all about, shaping us for all eternity. And so joy-filled people, happy people, fulfilled people are people with thankful hearts. Whatever's going on in life, we're thankful for what God is doing today. We know that he's at work in us. We're thankful for what he has done in our past. And we're thankful for what he's going to be doing in the future. And there's always that expectancy that God is going to do good because God is a good God. Can I hear an amen to that one? He is going to do good. He loves doing good to us. And so God is calling us today. And when we know in our hearts, the best thing to know is the scripture. Then it doesn't matter what I tell you from here, because you're not going to remember any more than 7% of what I say today. The best thing is to get the Word of God in you, so you know the Word of God, so you know that whatever you've got in life, it's all come, James 1:17 says, every good gift comes down from the Father in heaven. So whatever you've got today, you've got it because God gave it to you. And when we know that in our heart, it helps us to be generous because it's his. It came from him. It's all his. And God is calling us to be a generous church. Now, for anyone new, we don't talk about money a lot here. We don't even take offerings at the minute. We might go back to that. We stopped because of COVID. But really, I want people to want to give. You know, it's easy to give through the banks today. You give by the bank, then you haven't got to worry about it every week. Am I going to give? Am I not? You give and let God sort it out. And he will, I promise you, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that. But what we don't want is people giving out of I've got to or compulsion or because Clive says, don't worry about what I say. What does the Bible say? And we're going to learn a bit about God's way of living to be blessed with money. And one of the keys is this. And we know Jesus, okay? Does Jesus keep his promises? Yeah, amen. Okay, he says this. Give and it will be given to you. The measure you use, it will be measured to you. So if we're generous with God, he'll be generous with us. If we're stingy with God, he'll be stingy with us. That's the way it works. And so it says as well, I'll say this. When we came into COVID, okay, we went for a really bad time. We didn't tell you guys, our work stopped. I thought the business was over. Our money got really bad in the bank. The money here, most people reduced what they were giving. Some stopped giving. And it was like, what are we going to do then? Do you know what I mean? We've got, I think it's about 12 families in the business side that rely on us. And our money's going down. I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give another £2,000 to the church. And Debbie, bless her, she never argues with me. She always says, yeah, if that's you, money doesn't mean anything to Deb. It's like, I deal with that side, but she always agrees, whatever we've got, God has given, we're going to give the 2,000, and we gave it. And you know what we saw in that? Within weeks, the work started to come in. It was so bad, let me tell you that, it was so bad that my partner of 28 years decided to take early retirement because he thought he was going to see the bank of money that we'd built up over all them years whittled away. He said, Clive, the firm is hemorrhaging. We're just losing money everywhere. And it was his time to get out. But it was in that time when we was in the lowest and crying out to God, we said, no, we've got to give more. At this time, true story, I could tell loads like this, guys. Well, what we saw was within weeks that God stepped in. He stepped in, and work increased. Our finances started to get sorted out in the bank again, and where my partner left, and I used to spend time with Angie, and I still do, talking about business. I said, I just don't know what's going to happen when Steve goes. Well, Glenn, my son, stepped up. And he's doing great. You see, what I saw was God step into that situation. So I wasn't just thankful that God had helped us out financially. No, it wasn't just that. My faith had grown because I'd given and I'd seen God step in like that. And I want to say thank you to some of you out there recently that have given good money to us. Some of you tithe well. Some of you have given a couple of lump sums to us, which have really helped us through tough times. And just recently, you know, we've been saving for how many years now? 12 years, okay, where you haven't paid me as a pastor. We've been able to save up a bank of money to buy a building. Who knows that it's going to cost us 500,000, get this, as a deposit. To get a building, right? It's not 500,000 that get. We need that, at least that, okay? And just this week, we're not there yet, but we've got our foot on the ladder where there's three different people, the church and two others, where we're buying a property so that the church has got, like, our money's not going to whittle away with the inflation that's going on. We're buying a property that will give the church £350 per month rather than lose money leaving it in the banks. And so we got our foot on the ladder. And it might not even be our generation that can afford a building unless God gives someone. We know other churches in New Frontiers where one I know personally, where someone stepped up and gave them a £10 million building. We've got faith that can happen. Lord, please let it happen. But until then, we've got to show the right heart that we're going for it. We've got enough fire in us to say, yes, I do trust you with that, Lord. And we do want our own building at some point. But thank you for those that do give well. I encourage you, and we'll do it in a minute a bit more. If not yet, well, you know, it's good to give. The book of Proverbs says many things about giving and being generous, having a generous heart. Proverbs 11:24 says this, one gives freely and grows in riches, and another one withholds and loses whatever they have. And so the world says, grab your stuff, get hold of what you can, keep what you can. It's all yours. It's all for you. But God's economy is totally different from that. You see, he's built it into the foundation of the world. Because you can't see it, it doesn't mean it's not there. But God has revealed it to us through the Bible, through Scripture, that if we're freely give, then he will freely make sure that we get more back. That's it. Verse 25 says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched. And so think for yourself, who can you bless this week that you would enrich their lives? Who can you bring a blessing? Because when you bless others and generous with others, you get joy. Not just from yourself, so you get joy because you give to someone else, but then God promises joy for your heart because he's happy with what you've done. So if you bring blessing into someone else's life, he's going to bless you. It says further in that verse there, whoever waters will himself be watered. Okay, so anything that wants water, whether it's a human or a plant, they're in need. So you water them, you give what they need. And that's what it's pointing to, that we should look about those that are surrounding us, those that God has brought in their life. And we're not to give people their wants, okay? But if they're in need for something, we need to help them. And then the promise that comes when you do that, it's always painful. If it's not painful, then it's not worth doing. But if it causes pain, whether it's time, money, effort, whatever it is, we give it to them, because then when you've met their need, your need will be met. That's what it's saying there. Verse 27 says this, that whoever seeks good, doing good for others in that way, generous with others in that way, seeks favour. Now the Greek word for that favour can also mean acceptance. And so it can transform lives. It can transform everything when we're generous with others. And when we're generous like that, we can get favour with people. We can get accepted by people that didn't accept us, even to the point that they might even be our enemies. It can transform things. Generosity is so powerful. Anyone here had suffered noisy neighbours? Anyone? None of you. Oh, Robbie has. Yeah. You know where you're up all night? And the boom, boom, boom's going on, yeah. Well, we have actually the pub opposite, but I sleep in that front room and I can sleep through anything. But they are noisy till 3 a.m. But anyway, so we had this worship leader, who Nigel, his name was, lovely fella, but him and Tracy, they had these neighbours that would keep them up all night. It was boom, boom, boom. Didn't matter what they said to them, what they did, that they wouldn't tone it down. They were sometimes Nigel used to walk in on a Sunday morning ready to worship lead with eyes like saucers. He hadn't slept all night. They would swear in the garden, abuse the kids. They'd throw stuff over the garden rubbish into their garden. It was a horrible neighbour. And Nigel came to me and he said one day, when we've tried to work through this, prayed about it, and then one day Nigel came to me and he said, Clive, I've got this play swing thing in the garden where you swing and a slide and that for the little kids. He said, I'm going to renew it with a big one. We've got a bigger one coming. He said, do you want the one that we've got for the youth club that we run at the time? And I thought, yeah, that'd be really cool. But then I said, well, actually, Nigel, why don't you give it to your neighbour? He went, what? I said, give it to your neighbour and see what happens. The Bible talks about being generous. And so reluctantly at first, he did. He knocked on the door and the guy opened the door, very surprised that Nigel would be knocking on the door anyway. And he said to the guy, he said, look, we're renewing our kiddies' plaything in the garden and we've seen your children always looking over. Would you like the one we're taking down? And the guy went, well, actually, yeah, I would. And you know what? From that time, 11:30 that night, the music was turned down. They started to say hello in the garden rather than swear and throw things over the garden. It absolutely transformed that situation. Generosity has the power to do that. And verse 28 says that when we're generous, we become like a green leaf. like a green leaf. You'll flourish like a green leaf. You'll come alive like a green leaf. A green leaf feeds other things. There's so much life in it. It will feed everything that's around it that wants it. Rather than a dead leaf, a dry leaf that crumples easily. There's no life in it to give to other people. How is your heart today? How is your heart? Are you like that green leaf full of life? Or are you easily crumpled at the minute? This might be the answer for you. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this: if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. And so the answer is to reap, to sow bountifully. Give away what you have. That's God's answer. That's His. He will, as He's promised, give back more. But I've known over the years, I've seen it over the 30 years I've been pastoring now. It's where people give and they get blessed. And I've seen where people don't give and they come into want and that. I've seen it again and again. And the thing is that we've got to be careful what we sow. So it's the whole thing about reaping and sowing, yeah? That whatever you sow, that also you will reap. That's what Galatians says, 6:7. So it means whatever we give out, we're going to get back more. And there's a principle we need to get hold of with that. So if we give out love, we're going to get more love back. If we are a peaceful person giving out peace, we're going to get more peace back. If we gossip about people, they will gossip about us. We'll get it back. If we give money out, then we will get more money back. As simple as that. If we give our anger to people, we're always angry, we're going to get that come back at us. If we're generous with people and God, we'll get generosity back. So the principle, what we can learn from that is, wherever your need is, you need to give it away. Yeah? So if you need more love, start loving other people more and it will come back. If you need more finance, give it away and it will come back. I promise you, I've tried it over the years. I've tested this. God does say, test me in these things in the Old Testament. The one thing He does, test me with your money. And so we follow Jesus, don't we, guys? Yeah? We follow Jesus. Jesus is the most generous person ever. He didn't just give us money. He didn't just give us roofs over our head. He actually gave us His life. He gave the most precious thing in the whole of the universe. And we are to be like Him. That's what we're to be like, Him. And so what can we give that will make a difference to somebody's life today? What can we give to transform their life? What can we do that shows the world that we follow Jesus, that we love Him, that we truly are being shaped to be like Him? I challenge you, have a think about it. And you could transform someone's situation, like Nigel and Tracy's completely transformed with their neighbour. They thought they was going to move before that. It was the biggest thing in the world to them before that, and it transformed overnight for them. And so, the thing is this, church, God is looking upon each one of us. He's looking upon us as a church, yeah, because every bit penny we get, we give 10% of that away. That's the principle. We give 10%, we give 10% away. And God sees how generous your heart is. Not in a way that He wants to smack you for not, but in encouraging ways, saying, come on, will you test me in this? Will you try me out? Because I've got bag loads of stuff to bless you with. And when we do that, it shows that we are free from the bondages of the world. It's that I truly am free in Christ. We're not, if we think we've got to keep everything we've got in case it goes. And, you know, the Bible speaks about the guy that doesn't invest in anything. Oh, you wicked servant. We don't want that. And so as the well, what we want to do is to be a generous church so that we can fulfill all the things that God has asked her to do. Why? Because you can't take any money with you. Matthew told me that yesterday, and he's a banker. Where is he? He's there somewhere. Isn't it right, Matthew? He's gone to sleep. Look at that. Yeah, look. Caught you out, mate. I've caught you. I'll have you for that later. Yeah. But you can't take any money with you. You can't. You can't take your stuff. Do you know the only thing you can take to heaven is your testimony of what you have done in the Lord. And then you will be rewarded for that. And we want people to be rewarded massively when we get to heaven. And a big well done for the church. So, right now, you can give to New Day. New Day, one of the things we're doing as a church is that we are asking for money so that next time we go to New Day, where 7,000 of our youth go there each year, that we can have proper tents and equipment to go. Because we went this year, over 300 youth gave their life to Christ, over 300 youth were healed, and four of ours got baptized on the back of that when they came back. So you can give to that. We've got about £500 already towards that £2,000 Secondly, we went for a day of baptism down to the Basildon guys, and we want to do more days out like that. We want to have more fun as a church, don't we, church? Yeah? Well, the coach costs £600. It doesn't come for nothing. We need to put in to get back. Or maybe you were touched by Haresh's story. As I said before, 10% of what everybody gives to the church, we always give out to other charities. And we're looking to help them out. Do you want to help Haresh out, guys? Yeah. So this is what you can give into. And then we want to plant other churches. We want to plant other churches, families that are like ours. Why don't you just walk right across the front? Yeah, what's he like? We're family here, it's okay. It's everything joking with him. All right, but we want to plant other churches like this. Okay, so we're rooted in this church here. Basildon is growing. There's about 30 people involved with that now. Yeah, wasn't it fantastic to have on that day that we went there? 130 people there, many of them hearing the gospel for the first time. But we want others. It's not going to stop there, guys. That's why we want to raise up preachers and worship leaders and more people that are ready to give their all to the Lord, because we want to go again and again and again. That's what we're going to see over the next weeks and years. Are you up for that, church? Yeah, it just takes a bit of finance as well. So I'm going to say this. Are you a generous person or a stingy person? Are you good at sowing what God has given you? The Bible calls us to tithe, which is 10%. If you don't give yet, I would say that. Try a little bit. See what God will do. I've seen so many. He will give you joy. It will bring you joy to know that you've given to Lord in that way. I know me and Debbie, you know the story, is that when we got married, we knew that God had called us to be together in ministry as well. And we said to God then, look, whatever you give us is yours still. And we will never ask the church for any money as long as you keep us going in business and that. And so you've got us all, Jesus. Me and Debbie, whatever you give us, whether it's the house, whether it's the land, whether it's the business, money, God, you get the lot. And so we don't draw money. We experience what it's like to be blessed by God. So we don't draw money from the church, and we give £500 a month. Whether we can afford it or not, it's there. And you know, every time I see that, I look at it in there, £250 from Deb, £250 a month from me. I look at it, and initially it was like, oh man, do I have to? And now I look at it and I think, yes, because everything else comes from that. That's in there, everything else comes. If you do tithe, but you're not tithing the full amount, try tithing the full amount. God will truly bless you. And if you already tithe the full amount, try giving more, even to the point where it hurts. Yeah? Because when I went out to Singapore, out there they give on average 20% of their wages. Can you imagine that? Lord, if you can come up, that'd be great. 20%. of their wages they give. And because of that, they have now planted churches and sent missionaries right round the world. How does it make God feel? Philippians 4:18 said this, that your offering rises up to me like a fragrant offering. It's beautiful to God when we give like that. He does see. It gives him pleasure. It puts a smile on God's face. And then the second part of that, he said, if you give well, surely I will supply every need of yours according to my riches in Christ. So what do you want to do as you look over this next season where there's so many bills coming in and so many? Honestly, please don't give if you're not convinced that God is saying that to you. But do you want to get through this next season because of what you've got in your pocket? Or are you going to start relying on the riches that God has got? Because all I can say is that what he's done for us, and remember Colin, he just gives, and he's come to retirement, he said it here, he's come to retirement, he's got more money now than when he was at work. Yeah, because he gave well, God looked after him. That's what he wants to do with us. So if I can ask you to stand, please. And, you know, God wants to bless you today. He wants to help you through this next season. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, the first thing you need to be generous with is your life. You need to give him your life. Repent and say sorry for the things that you've done wrong. Accept he died on a cross for you and ask him into your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that he rose from the dead and you will be saved today. Come and see me at the end if that's you. So for others, how is your heart today? Are you like a green leaf inside, full of life and exuberance and abundance and joy? So much so that people feed off you, they come to you, they see and get joy when they come into your presence. I've got to say, I'm not always like that myself. Yeah. And I don't feel like a crusty leaf. I think more like a green leaf right now. But I want more. I want more of that green leaf feeling. Full of life, exuberance and fire. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. If you want more of the Holy Spirit, more of that joy, if you want your heart to be like a green leaf, maybe it's been like a dried up leaf for too long, or there's parts of your heart that feel that way, let's just receive from God. I'm going to ask Holy Spirit, and for myself as well. Spirit of God, come. Lord, we heard this morning that you promise Holy Spirit of fire. You promise life, Jesus. Life in its fullness, God. Like a river, not like a trickle. You're not a tight God, a stingy God. God, I pray for revelation. That you would reveal to us the hidden things, that we wouldn't listen to the world. It's grab for me. Now, I'm not saying you haven't got to go work and do something for it. That's another story that Sam spoke about last week. Great story. But this is what you do with it when you've got it. And it's like, Lord, show us. If we then give back to you, if we're then generous with our neighbours, you will give us back more, whatever it is we need. Give us that revelation. Give us it, Lord, so that we can go again, so that we can bless more people, so that we can be filled with joy. And I just release a spirit of generosity in this room today. What God has placed in my heart and Debbie's heart, I pray for every person here. Thank you so much for those that already give well. It's surprising, you know, sometimes it's those who have got the least money that turn around and give the biggest surprise. But Lord, bring that generosity. Generosity so that we can be a generous church, Lord, seen as even more generous than now. We're doing okay, but there's so much more. so that we can bless Suresh and the gang out there in India. Lord, we're looking at maybe not being so warm this winter. We've got homes, we've got heating, but not quite so warm. They're looking at no food, and they've got children, and they look after orphans. Do they? Lays out for us. Missions. Planting churches where we can share the good news of Jesus with others. Give to us, Lord. And we do pray for that building. That we would get a billionaire to turn around and say, here's a building. Use that for the kingdom. Use that. Lord, come. Bless every heart, Lord. And we come against any stingy spirit in our heart. No, if our parents were stingy with us, it can be that that carries on in our life. And we have to break that. We have to break that in the name of Jesus. It's a pattern that we have learned. It's a pattern. And so we break that stingy spirit in Jesus' name. Man, I've been round the house of someone's who said, come round for a meal. And like the Bible says, don't even do it. I learned why. I just felt bad even taking a little bit more meat. It was like, oh. Let's not be stingy, guys. Let's be exuberant. Our God is exuberant. He is generous. And once we step into that way, we get on track with that. Try it bit by bit, guys. Once you're on that track, I promise you, you will never look back. I promise you, your heart will be filled with joy when we get the pictures back from Odisha in India, where they've helped them out. And we see that it's just got them through this season. We've done our bit. We can't do everything, but we can do our bit. Because we put money in. When we see the youth come back next year from New Day, full of the Lord, following Him, getting baptised, bringing their mates, because we put our money in. And they thank us for all eternity.